This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County, and we want to let you know that this is going to be a tremendous show today. We have Mayor Sam Toon on today, and he was going to be my show, but actually, he was going to be on the show, but he's going to be one of my guest hosts today, and he's a big Cowboy fan like me, and we have Mrs. Cheryl Rogers Barnett on today. And just one of the loveliest ladies that you will ever run into. And, of course, everybody knows that she's Roy Rogers' daughter. And it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today, Cheryl. And, no, you don't need that. Where in the world have you been since you left here? Because,
goodness.
I always miss when you're gone. It's almost like you're one of our local stars here.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, you know, it just feels like we're at home when we're here.
Yeah.
We've made so many friends, and Mom got started in Memphis on radio. That was her first job when she was 16 years old.
You have got to be kidding me.
No, WREC, Memphis. Yeah, that was when she was still Frances Smith, before she became Dale Evans. So
she had a beautiful voice.
Oh, she did. Just a gorgeous voice. Anyway, I mean, we just... Everything feels so great, but we've been sort of all over. Last year was Dad's 100th anniversary, and this year is Mom's 100th anniversary. She would have been 100 years old on Halloween.
That doesn't seem possible.
I know.
I watch them a lot, and they still look like they're still in their 20s. And that's what they ought to be. I mean, they ought to stay that age forever.
I know. Isn't it incredible? We've got some clips of them when they were first starting to make movies. Dad in 1935 and then Mom in 1942 and 3. And they were already, I mean, she was 31 at that time, and she looks like a teenager. I mean, she was just drop dead gorgeous.
And
he wasn't too bad either.
Actually, for a cowboy back then, he was an unusually good-looking man. He really was.
He was.
And really, and with the voice and everything, it was just perfect for that time.
Well, and what brought them together was the music. You know, from the very beginning, I think Mom said that the first time she ever heard Dad, he was with the Pioneers. She had no idea who any of them were, but it was at the Texas Centennial at the fairgrounds there in Dallas, and she and Tommy had gone, my older brother, and they were just walking around, and they heard this three-part yodeling.
Oh, yeah.
And stopped in the pavilion, and she said she was just floored. It was such a different sound. They'd never heard anything like that before. And that, I think, was in 1936. And then it was in 42, I think, before she met him at Edwards Air Force Base during a bond drive.
You know, it's one of the most unique things, because three or four weeks ago, before I knew that you were coming in, I just found this out recently that you're going to be here. Fred called me, or Larry won. I can't remember. But anyway, for some reason, I was playing one of your dad's CD. And if I remember right, it's got three square dance songs on there. Is it four? I remember three. I can't keep up with him. I think while he's doing that,
fabulous.
How in the world could anybody square dance as fast? You'd have to be 100 miles an hour the whole time.
He was one of the very best of the square dance callers. He started when he was 10 years old with his cousin Stan. And they called, I guess. I mean, I didn't realize this because Dad didn't talk very much about that. But I have since found out that they called all over that part of southern Ohio and right there on the Kentucky border.
What does Alaman mean? Do you have a choice?
Your partner
Alaman
right and
left.
Oh, you switch hands off as you're going around the circle? Yeah. The girls go one way, boys go the other.
It's
and
a different language.
Hands. Yeah. Well, it is. And they had to learn all of, you know, all of that. But he loved tongue twisters. And well, he was loved good at it. Really fast lyrics and all, and he was so good at it. He loved the Auctioneer song that came out, you know, years later. He loved singing that. And my husband, Larry, he drove Dad a lot in Dad's last few years. And they were in the car driving, and Larry said something about how he had really loved Pecos Bill that Dad did for Disney.
I was
going to
say that. I love that one.
And he said, Dad said, you know, and Larry asked him, he says, do you remember how that song goes? Because Dad hadn't done it for years. And he did it double time. Just to show that he could do it.
That was one of the records that I listened to and one of my favorites on that CD.
Yeah.
Have you got the same one that I have? That's
Lucky Leather Breeches.
Oh, yeah. That is an absolute great song. Do you remember that commercial? Not the commercial, but the cartoon that Disney did, Sam, years ago.
Oh, in Pecos Bill.
I remember that. And he sang the song for it, which that's really what made the cartoon for me.
I remember saying that, sure do.
I tell you what, he has just really spanned everything. Roy did. I mean, he was bigger than life on everything. And Fred was telling me something, and I don't remember if I ever knew it or not, but he was on the Perry Como show.
Yeah.
And you were on the Perry Como show.
Yeah, we all did that one. Thanksgiving of 1956, we were all there. It was my very first time in New York City and went to Radio City Music Hall and rode in the Macy's Day Parade.
Oh, wow.
You know, did all the all the New York stuff that I'd heard about all that, you know, for so many years and I'd seen in the movies and didn't think I'd ever get there. So that was really great. We had a wonderful time. And Mr. Como was such a doll.
I was going to ask you, because he and Roy seemed a lot alike in their temperament and everything.
They were. They both appeared so relaxed and so kicked back, and they were both absolute perfectionists.
Yeah, there's no doubt
about
that.
I mean, during rehearsals, Mr. Como was not as relaxed as he was during the show.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but he was so nice.
Your mom and dad had that great television show for so long.
Yeah.
And of course, the lead song was Happy Trails and all that. When they filmed that, that was almost, I'll bet they were almost perfect when they first did. How many times did they have to rerun that particular scene where they were riding and they were singing Happy Trails together? Do you remember that?
Oh, I mean, Dad owned that show.
Right.
And it had a $0 budget because he had 7 kids.
Uh-huh.
So I doubt that they did very much, you know, very many takes. What they would do back then, and I don't know about now, but back then they did, they pre-recorded music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would, what they call lip syncing.
Right, right.
And that's how they would do that, because
I'd bust my bubble.
Oh, I'm sorry, but if they were bouncing up and down on those horses, can you imagine what the sound quality would be like?
But do you remember the shows, them doing the shows?
Oh, yeah, because I was 12 when they started.
I was wondering if you were there when they were doing it.
Oh, yeah, I remember Dad making the movies at Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Mom told me that I had to write a book, because I'm the oldest, and she said, you're the only one that remembers Dad at Republic. So.
Well, the question is, was there ever any conflict between Dale and Roy while they were producing the show? Did one have ideas that the other may not particularly like and want to do something else?
You know, as far as work goes, not really. They meshed so great professionally.
Mm-hmm.
They were both very creative. Dad was very protective of the Roy image, and he would speak of himself in the third person.
Mm-hmm.
It was so strange. I never thought that he was an actor, because they would get a script. I mean, and this is from the time that I was tiny. And he would look at a script, and he'd say, well, Roy wouldn't do this, and Roy wouldn't do that, and Roy wouldn't say it this way. So I just figured that, you know, he's talking about himself, not the character. And it wasn't until in the 70s when he made Macintosh and TJ that I realized he was really a good actor. I mean, he was really a good actor. But like so many of the really good ones, like Robert Mitchum and some of those guys, he made it look so natural mm-hmm. and so easy. I mean, you couldn't see the wheels working like with some of the method actors. They seem to get so caught up in the process that it distracts me. But with Dad, I mean, he was just so believably the character that he was playing. So
now, he was an Ohioan.
He was born
around Cincinnati or in that area.
He was born in Cincinnati above a shop. He was born at home, as so many were during that time. Mm-hmm. And he was born above a shop that mm-hmm. when they tore that down, they built Riverfront Stadium there. Oh. And it would have been second base of Riverfront Stadium.
That's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
Now, did you get to know many of his family that came from the Ohio area?
Oh, yeah. All three of his sisters moved to California. Well, two of them had moved to California before Daddy and Gramps did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they went to California, because the sisters were living there and they said, you know, come on out here. It was during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know, even if you can't get work, at least you can pick fruit and that kind of thing, and you can at least get food. So Daddy and my grandfather drove out there, and they did. They picked peaches. They went all up and down the Central Valley and picked whatever was there. And then Dad drove a gravel truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then wow. his older sister pushed him on the stage one night at a talent show. And he didn't win, but several of the other people there recognized he was a great musician. He could mm-hmm. play anything with strings. So he played mandolin, banjo, guitar, fiddle, bass fiddle.
My.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good. So they would use him to fill in with their groups, mm-hmm. and he could sing in harmony, which not everybody can. He had a fabulous ear.
Oh, he did.
So that's how he got started, and that's how he met Bob Nolan and Tim Spencer. Was they had all worked with
them.
Other groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd all worked with other groups. Mm-hmm. So
they weren't the Sons of the Pioneers yet.
No, they were the Pioneer Trio when
okay.
they got together. They were the Pioneer Trio, and then they added two Texas musicians, mm-hmm. Hugh and then Carl Farr. So that was the fiddle and the rhythm guitarist, and that became the Sons of the Pioneers.
You know, I know Sam Toon has been over there at the Readable Mill. They have breakfasts on Saturday morning. John Blankenship and his band are
yeah.
there. Do you know John?
Of course.
He cannot get out of there unless he sings some of Roy's and the Sons of the Pioneers songs. They have to sing Cool Water no matter what. Tumbling Tumbleweeds. I mean, they're some of my favorite songs, but he reminds me so much of when Roy and the Pioneers were singing yeah. those country songs, western songs.
Oh, well, Dad and John were really good friends, and John's wife, Tony. I mean, Dad and Mom stood up for them when they got married.
Wrong Blankenship.
Oh, it's the wrong Blankenship. I'm sorry.
This is local John.
He's also a singer, John Blankenship.
Okay, so we got two John
yes.
Blankenships. So professionally, how's that going to work out since they're both singing?
I have no idea, because the one has been singing at Knott's Berry Farm for years.
Oh, okay.
So
been there. But
thank you, Fred.
You guys, one of these times when you come in on a Saturday morning, we'll yeah. all go out to the Readable Mill and listen to John Blankenship.
Ooh, sounds
sing.
Good. Love to.
Because it's an old grist mill that goes back in the early 1800s, and the venue is just absolutely beautiful. We've got the river running by it.
Oh,
and
I
they
love
have,
that.
And they have breakfasts, and they've redone the mill. I mean, it is beautiful. The only thing Sam regrets is it's not in the middle of Eagleville.
That's where it should be.
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm.
Now, Sam, you're a big Western fan just like I am.
Well, we grew up in that area, you know.
Did you get to go to the theaters like we did, like the Princess, and watch them every Saturday morning?
Oh, it sounds deprived and poor, pitiful. But no, we went occasionally, but we, you know, we grew up farming on a dairy farm, so you didn't have a lot of time to go to movies.
That's so sad.
It's pitiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We watched more of the TV westerns.
Of course, now Roy and Dale were on a long time.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
I was going to say, Sam's younger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, y'all are. And John Blankenship, I mean, God, he's much older than I am.
Now, when Roy would be around family.
Yeah.
And this is where he came from in Ohio. How hard was it for them to adapt to his name Roy instead of Leonard?
They never did.
So it's always Leonard.
Oh, his sisters and his mom always called him Leonard. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you're running two or three personalities at home with you and the kids. Was he Roy? Or Dad?
He was Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did everybody call him Roy at that time?
Those that didn't call him Buck, and I have no idea where the Buck came from, but that was his really close, good friends that had known him since he first came to Hollywood. They called him Buck.
Pioneer started that.
Yeah, I just wonder how in the world he would have got that. I mean, riding horses, I mean, it could come from there.
I have no idea.
But I know one of your favorite people growing up was Gabby.
Oh, I adored him.
Everybody loved. You couldn't take your eyes off of him, and you couldn't wait for him to talk when he was on the screen.
I know. Well, he was the biggest scene stealer that there ever was. He was just the consummate professional actor. He had started as a teenager in New York, where he was from, and played Hamlet at 19.
Unbelievable.
And was a star in New York. And then when... the market crashed and all, it was his wife, who was a former Ziegfeld girl.
Uh-huh.
She told him that movies were going to be the next big thing and convinced him to go to Hollywood, where he got started. But they never had kids, and he just was great with kids. So he'd make faces and he'd tell funny stories. I mean, who as a little kid wouldn't love that? I just adored him.
I mean, that voice, as soon as it came on, it captured you. And it does not sound like somebody that had been on stage or on screen with the Shakespeare-type things. He never had that sound at all.
Well, you know, the thing is, when they started making talkies, because he got there right as the silence were ending, is my understanding, and went right into talkies and became an expert on sound and lighting and camera angles. I mean, just as I say, he was the ultimate professional. Mom and Dad said they learned more from him than anybody that they worked with. So he was just so fantastic. But the early John Wayne stuff that he did.
Saw it.
That's when he was still George Hayes. Before Gabby. And he's the bad guy in those. He's the crooked banker. And he's the chief rustler and that stuff. And because
he was good at it, too.
Oh, yeah. He was wonderful at it. But neither he nor his wife liked that. She really disliked him being made a bad guy.
Wow.
So he remembered a character from vaudeville that he had seen. He developed that character with Hoppy when he was first in the Hoppy series. He was Wendy Holiday, I believe.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up.
Yeah. And then when he left, the people that owned Hoppy said, well, you can't take that character with you. We copyrighted it and we own it. So he said, okay. And he became Gabby Whittaker. So Dad and all of the other actors, because he worked with everybody, I swear. I mean, you just see him in so many of the old movies. But everybody that worked with him really got great value because he was the best sidekick ever.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with Cheryl talking about Gabby, because I remember one special movie that they had together before he became his sidekick. And we'll be right back with you.
Get your partners for that old square dance favorite. Right hand over, shake them how they do. Honor your partners. All join hands and circle to the south. Let a little sunshine in your mouth. from the Grand Trail back, the lady in the lead. Swing your part a little bit hard. Man, you left and right, your part go right and left, and hurry up, boys, and don't be slow, and sift your meal and mix your dough, and save a heel and pat your toe. Meet your partner, waltz floor. First and third, couples out to the right with a right hand over, shake them how do you do. Left hand back and how are you? Circle four right there. Change your right hand, lady, by the left hand round, partner by the right as she comes round. To your homes and everybody swing. Element, you left. Grand right and left now. Up that hickory, down the pine, watch old bird come shaking number nine. Second and fourth, couples out to the right with the right hand over, shake them how do you do. Left hand back and how are you? Circle four right there. Change the right hand, lady, by the left hand round, partner by the right as she comes round. All to your homes and everybody swing. Element, you left and right, your part go right and left. Right foot up and left foot down, and meet your honey, turn her around. First and third, couples out to the right with the right hand over, shake them how they do. Left hand back and how are you? Circle four right there. Change the right hand, lady, by the left hand round, partner by the right as she comes round.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, a full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. We have a combined 10.5 acres with great plant material, mulches, landscape stones, and lawn decor. Here at South Branch Nursery, we specialize in hard-to-find trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, and edibles. We also have a full line of bagged and bulk soils, mulches, and rock, and even offer to deliver any of our products. Come see our South Church Street location, just off I-24 past Indian Hills Golf Course.
Let's check some Good Neighbor events. United Way is doing their Stuff the Bus right now through June the 20th. They're collecting school supplies that will be placed in literacy kits and given to needy pre-kindergarten through third grade students in local schools. That's now through June 20th. And the 6th annual Rubber Duck Derby is coming up Saturday afternoon, June the 23rd, right there at the Sportsman's Club on Medical Center Parkway on Stones River. Adopt one of the 10,000 rubber ducks at area merchants, and you might be the winner of $5,000 cash. I'll see you there. The first annual Tote and Fork Festival is coming up Saturday, June 23rd, over at Broadmoor Senior Living on Memorial. It all benefits the Alzheimer's Association. For information, call 867-9777. And on hot days, you're encouraged to check on your senior citizen friends and loved ones. Fans and air conditioners do save lives. And if you need one, get in touch with Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. That number is 818-2459. Nature photos by Dan Whittle are on display at the Art Center of Cannon County now through June 30th. Check them out. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
My name is Mary Fugit. I work for TriStar Title Company, and I had to come today to the Bunganut Pig because when my husband and I had our first date a couple of years ago, he brought me here for drinks and dancing, and it was the best time.
Join the Bunganut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bunganut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
All across the South, fans young and old gather to root on their favorite Atlanta Braves.
Driven, oh my.
High and deep to right field. Way out of here, a two-run mammoth home run for Freddie Freeman.
They listen together, taking in every moment of Chipper's final season.
The pitch to Chipper. Hit high and deep. Chipper Jones has blistered one to right center field.
This is Why We Chop.
Atlanta Braves baseball is on WGNS.
Weather Eye.
This afternoon, plenty of sunshine. We're at a high of 90 degrees with an east wind around 5. Mostly clear skies for tonight, 66 for your low. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Falluber.
Currently, it's 90.
In Rutherford County, more than 4,000 youth participate in 4-H educational programs each year. This is 4-H agent Michael Shirley, and I encourage you to support the 4-H Youth Development Program here in Rutherford County. Contact the Rutherford County Extension Office at 898-7710.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Sam Toon. And, of course, our special guest today is Cheryl Rogers. And I guarantee you, I should say Barnett. I'm sorry. I just eat it with that Rogers name. And this portion is brought to you by one of their good friends, Larry Rawson, Gordon Rawson Photography. And they're at 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro. And their phone number is 396-8776. And you can pull them up on the internet, www.gordonrawstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, who is a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys and some of the best people you'll ever run into. And their studio is one of the most awarded in Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. And they specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. And this is something that Sam Toon will be interested in. Larry Sims, he has a 250-acre farm estate selling in 12 parcels, and it goes on the auction block at 10 a.m. Saturday, June the 16th, and it's the estate of Bessie Lover Gentry and John Gentry, and includes a 3,000-square-foot, 8-room house with 2 stone fireplaces, oak floors, and a large kitchen and family room. In all, there are 7 5-acre tracts, 2 23-acre tracts, a 26-acre tract, 58-acre tract, and an 86-acre tract. The working farm has been used as a dairy and cattle operation. The majority of the property at the corner of Lovern Road and Rock Springs Road consists of crop, pasture land. Also on site are barns, a silo, 3 ponds, and fencing. Owner financing is available, $10,000 earnest money, day of sale, subject to regrouping. Contact Larry Sims or Bill Cunningham at Sims Realtors Auctioneers. And for more information, call 615-893-5252. 615-893-5252. Does that sound good to you, Sam?
Well, we need to send Larry a little expense form. He can send me a donation. I know that farm very well.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I've been on that farm and cut silage on it, cut hay on it when I lived in Christiana, and that's a very good
farm. That's in the Midland area, isn't it?
Just prior to Midland.
Uh-huh.
I guess really the back side of the farm is considered Midland. The front side would be Christiana. Yeah, it is a good farm. So, Larry Sims, you need to send me a little donation here, buddy, for helping you out on this auction here. But it's a good farm.
I can tell you, I've been all through that area, and you go all the way through there, Rock Springs, and some of the nicest people in Rutherford County live right through there. They really do. Yeah. You couldn't have better neighbors and people that'll help you out no matter what it is that happens to you.
Yeah, Mr. Of course. Mr. Gentry, you know, he was a Baptist minister, and he was a good friend of ours, and a real good fellow, the whole family, and just good people. But the home, I think the home was built in the early 1800s.
I think I know which one it is.
It's real old. It's crossing the Gordon farm, you know.
Yeah, I was down there last week, matter of fact. Yeah. I've got a real good friend is having some health problems, and it's all the people out there are the type that you want to be around. They're just like family to everybody.
Yeah. But it is a good farm. Good farm.
Now, one of the films I was telling you about before we broke, Gabby was a big ranch owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this horse that he wanted to race. And Roy, yeah. Do I hear something in my ear, Cheryl? I can't hear.
I know. You hear Fred Goodwin, yes, saying, "My pal Trigger, my pal Trigger."
That's exactly what it was. And Roy raised it, and it was one of those things where Gabby was a gambler, and he didn't have much money left. In fact, he had his farm up in Hawk at that time.
Yep.
And do you remember that movie?
Oh, sure.
It's one of my favorites because Gabby is a good guy and a bad guy at the same time.
Yeah, well, he was sort of a crotchety.
Yeah, which that fits in his character.
He was so wonderful in so many of the different roles that he did with Dad. Two of my favorites are Don't Fence Me In, where he plays Wildcat Kelly, and he's in the coffin, and he's allergic to lilies, and the lady puts the lilies on his chest, and he's trying not to sneeze. I mean, there's nobody that could have been in the scene with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off of him. He was so wonderful. And the other one that I really like, Fred will probably correct me, but I think it's Roll on Texas Moon, where Gabby is the cattle rancher and Mom owns a sheep ranch. Mm-hmm. And this little lamb follows Gabby all over the place. And of course, he's supposed to hate sheep. Mm-hmm. So he calls him a walking lamb chop. And they had two or three scenes between the lamb and Gabby that were just so precious. And as a little kid, boy, I thought that was just the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen.
Have you seen the movie where Roy was not really a good guy, and I believe it was the one that he was with John Wayne in Dark Command. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a strange movie. I mean, everybody is out of character in that movie. It's an odd one.
It is. And, of course, they totally rewrote history because it's supposed to be about Quantrell, and they made him a school teacher and did all of this stuff and just really rewrote history with it. But the actors that are in it, it's Walter Pigeon
Rock
and Claire Trevor and Gabby, Dad, John Wayne, as you said. I mean, it had a tremendous cast, great cast. And the acting was fine. It's just that they really took liberties with history.
Well, they almost took liberties with their own characters, too. I mean, to me, it was a good... I enjoyed the movie, but there was just something that was in conflict all the time with their characters and the roles that they were playing.
Yeah, well, it was different than what we were used to. You know, Republic every now and again would take historic flights of fancy.
Now, your dad knew a lot of movie stars. I mean, he knew John Wayne and some of the other big ones. Who were some of his favorite people as far as the movie stars, as far as getting to know them and enjoying them? Because I know Roy and Dale were private. I mean, they liked their home life. They wanted you guys to have just as natural a home life as possible.
Well, of course, the pioneers were the ones that he was closest to forever, because as a young man, he had traveled all over the country with them, and they'd all starve together and, you know, split up their evening sleep by sharing beds and that kind of thing, because their promoter was always running out on them. But I think most of the people the actors that Dad became friends with were those who shared his love of hunting and mm-hmm. fishing and skeet and trap shooting, that type of thing. I mean, those guys he spent more time with than the others. Other than that, it was pretty much where if they were doing charity events, they would perform on the same bill or show up at the same event, but mm-hmm. you don't get to know people at that type of an event. You know, everybody's there and you're plugging their cause and you're there to meet and greet and shake hands and get your picture taken and hope you raise money for a good cause.
You're the different world back then, because now, I mean, money is flowing everywhere with these big stars. And you told me something a couple of years ago that absolutely shocked me, was that Roy bought Trigger and had to pay installments
oh, yeah.
on Trigger. Now, sure. that just absolutely blows my mind, because I thought of him. He was the big star back then.
$75
But he wasn't making the big money. I mean, how in the world could that have happened at that day and time?
Well, Republic was what they called a Poverty Row studio, mm-hmm. and they didn't pay anybody big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Dad was a total unknown. He wasn't Roy Rogers when they signed him to a contract. He was Leonard Sly, became Dick Weston, and it was $75 a week, and I believe it was for 7 years.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when he became number one box office and wanted to renegotiate his contract, I think they went up to $150. But he was making that as the number one box office, where
wow.
Gable and those guys were making tens of thousands a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it was very different back then. Mom made more money when she signed her contract because she had a following. She mm-hmm. was on Chase and Sanborn Hour, which was the country's biggest radio show at that time. So people knew the name Dale Evans. She had been in big bands. She toured around the country and had a following. So the contract they signed her to was $300 a week,
mm-hmm.
twice what Dad was getting. And I think John Wayne was making like $350 at that time, because he was another one who had started out little with Republic, become a big star, but he had this long-term contract.
Now, who was his agent is what I want to know.
Well, I mean,
Fred, where were you at
the time?
Business
was different. You know, Dad said that he was just thrilled to be getting a weekly paycheck. Mm-hmm. As a singer with a band, I mean, they'd been starving.
Hmm.
So he thought that $75 a week was a big amount of money. Hmm. Then, of course, when he became number one, everybody's telling him, well, you know, they're underpaying you. This is horrible. So they renegotiated to $150.
Ooh,
yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Now, I remember all the Roy Rogers things, the two-gun holster sets,
oh, yeah.
and all those things. Did he make anything off of that?
Yes, because he was going in to renegotiate his contract again mm-hmm. with Mr. Yates. And Dad had the idea that rather than ask for a raise, which Yates wasn't likely to grant, that he would ask for the rights to his image and
Ooh,
his name.
Good move.
And Mr. Yates said that as long as it didn't cost the studio any money, that was okay with them. I mean, they got, when Dad did radio, Republic got the money. When Dad did recordings, Republic got the money. If he did rodeos, I mean, for performances, his contract said that the studio got a big percentage of it. Anyway, he said that was the first time he was really making money, was through the merchandising.
Mm-hmm. So business really wasn't as much in his mind at that time. It doesn't sound like. But the thing is, we have heard all these horror stories about performance. Just take the Three Stooges, for instance.
Yeah.
They were broke there for a long time, and one of the biggest draws in the theater.
Then they died broke. One of them died broke.
Pretty much. I mean, they did make a little bit of a comeback at the end of their lives, but of course, almost it all broke up when Curly died.
Yeah.
Curly died, he was the big draw, as far as I'm concerned, and then it seemed like everything went downhill after that for them. Yeah. But you think of the power the studios had at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And then
they owned you,
they
lock,
did.
Stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I think a few Mavericks started fighting back, and then everything changed. And really, you think about Roy. I mean, of course, you can't cry for Roy because he did well. I mean, when you become a superstar like he was, then it was all worthwhile for him, I know. But being a daughter of Roy Rogers had to have been special in a lot of ways. But did you feel different because of that?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were traveling with them doing shows, of course. Mm-hmm. But so many of the kids that we went to school with in the San Fernando Valley, their parents worked for the studios.
Mm-hmm.
So going to public school or private school there, I mean, we were just another kid whose folks, you know, worked in the business. I enjoyed a lot of it. I got to travel. I got to meet people that I would have never gotten to meet otherwise. That was wonderful. But it's really been more now as an adult and trying to keep their memories alive and all that I think.
Is that a difficult thing? Or are we looking at different generations? Because Sam and I and a lot of others, I mean, that's always will be strong with us.
Yeah.
But is there going to be a gap down to a generation or two beyond us? Is it going to be hard to keep that going?
In some ways, I think, you know, I've heard, well, children won't watch black and white, children won't do this, children won't do that. But when Larry and I have a booth, if we set up a small TV set or something and mm-hmm. play DVDs in it, the little kids come over and they're just glued.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it is, but I know that these last 2 years, especially with their anniversaries here, we've been getting a lot of requests to do events. We're in town now that I'm doing a program tomorrow for the Tennessee Farm Bureau, their Women's Summer Conference. And Larry and I have worked with a friend, and we've put together just a fabulous little video to show Stefan Mom that people might not know. She was a pinup during the Second World War, and she was a big band singer. And so we've got all of that in this 20-minute video.
We're going to talk about somebody else special when we come back. I'm going to do a quick commercial here. It's Murfreesboro Automotives. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians, and they can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad Street between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. You can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
Today is Wednesday, the 13th of June. Our WGNS birthday cake winner is Bob Hayes out there at State Farm. Today, Bob is going to receive a free birthday cake, compliments of locally owned and operated Junior's Foodland. Junior's Foodland is at 323 East Main.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
Okay, now, Sam, we're going to talk about that 250-acre farm again. Now, Larry Sims, of course, is selling it. He and Bill Cunningham. And it's out on, what is that area?
Rock Springs Road.
Chris, yeah, it's a Midland area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know that farm well.
Very well, yes, sir.
Are you going to be out there Saturday and bidding on this piece of property?
I don't think I'll be bidding on it.
Because I just want to let everybody know the man that has all the means is not going to be out there. So you're going to get it at a better price if Sam's not there Saturday morning.
I don't need another farm. Not today.
And let's tell you about the farm again. It's a 250-acre farm estate, and it's selling in 12 parcels, and it goes on the auction block at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, June the 16th, and it's the estate of Bessie Lovern Gentry and John Gentry, and it includes a 3,000-square-foot eight-room house with two stone fireplaces, oak floors, a large kitchen and family room. In all, there are 7 5-acre tracts, 2 23-acre tracts, a 26-acre tract, 58-acre tract, and an 86-acre tract. The working farms have been used as a dairy and cattle operation. The majority of the property at the corner of Lovern Road and Rock Springs Roads consists of crop and pasture land. Also on site are barns, a silo, 3 ponds and fencing. Owner financing is available. $10,000 earnest money, day of sale, subject to regrouping. Contact Larry Sims or Bill Cunningham at Sims Realtors Auctioneers for more information. Call 615-893-5252. That's 615-893-5252. And coming from no less than Sam Toon, the mayor of Eagleville, that is a one great farm.
And I'm going to help Larry Sims one more time here. He failed to mention the wholesomeness of the community out there.
Right.
And Christiana School.
Right.
Christiana's got a wonderful school, a wonderful staff, and a good place to live, good place to raise a family. So
that's where the Dan Mitchell family is.
The Mitchells, the Gordons,
right.
Barton Gordon grew up just right down the road from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's...
In fact, they were the pillars of the community. All those names you mentioned, they're all cornerstones, every one of them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's what you want in a cure community.
Right. That's right. And let me go a bit further. Two of my best friends, Mr. Bill Gillespie, that's still in the dairy business today, and Mr. John Robinson, both mm-hmm. those gentlemen milk cows on that farm right there.
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with that farm. And the community.
Now, since you've been my co-host all day, I'm going to have you back on because there's some important issues that we've got to talk about. And we're not going to be able to hit them today because we have this special young lady from out west who only comes here very rarely, even though this should be her home. In fact, I'll bet you, Cheryl, that Sam could find you a place in Eagleville. And it is one of those places where the rainbow ends right there in that one spot. Oh, it really is. Sam will tell you there.
Be wanting to leave California.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a better place on
California.
Earth.
We escaped from there. Yeah. We live in Utah, right by Zion National Park.
Oh, that's a beautiful area.
It's gorgeous. Larry likes to say that it looks like every John Wayne movie you ever saw because we're in the Red Rocks.
Did John Ford pick your house out for you, your place?
No. We found the lot and we built the house.
Now, one subject we talked about a little bit last time, and this is something that people need to know. One of the gentlemen that's a friend of yours, name is Robert Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember him, any of us of age, as in The Little Rascals.
Sure.
And as Little Beaver in Red Rider.
Yeah.
And then as he went through the movies, and he was also in television.
Did Beretta. Fabulous
yeah,
series.
Great, great series. It really was.
Yeah.
And then he did the gruesome movie In Cold Blood, Truman Capote's movie about the a realistic murder that actually did happen. it seems like he had some problems emotionally after that. And then he did have some problems later on. But you portray him, and you can see people better than a lot of people, as such a really great guy. He really was.
Well, I always enjoyed Bob since he was a kid growing up in the Republic Studio lot. Mm-hmm. And I was a kid growing up on the Republic Studio lot. I've known him literally all my life. He's, I don't know, 5 or 6 years older than I am. But he was always nice to me. When he got out of the service, I dated him a couple of times.
Oh, really?
We were stayed friends mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. I just think he's a great guy. And I felt so sorry for him getting caught up in that horrible mess when his estranged wife was killed.
You know, that's the amazing thing about Roy and Dale, is they stayed away from that type of Hollywood scene where you're one thing on stage or in film,
yeah,
and then you're another off film, and they seem to stay just in that perfect atmosphere the whole time.
Well, I mean, in Hollywood and with the press, it's very difficult to do because they're always looking for something.
Oh,
but a lot of it is timing, too.
Yeah.
You know, that happened right after the O.J. Simpson thing, and I think the courts were determined that another celebrity, you know, was going to be treated differently, mm-hmm. that type of thing. But for all of us that know him, I mean, none of us believe that he did it. So.
We've got a caller on the line, so we're going to have to put our ears on so we can hear. And caller, welcome aboard with Cheryl Rogers Barnett and Mayor Sam Toon.
Hello, Truman. John L. Beatty.
Hey, John L.
That's just right down my alley. All of you there, even Mayor probably got 30 there. But Cheryl came to the Blackman Barbecue.
Yes.
About 10 or 12 years ago, she's been a couple of times there. And we really enjoyed it when Freddie brought her out. And mentioned the Blackman Barbecue, it's coming up next Friday, the 22nd of June, from 8 to 5 to 8. And we've got a new location this year. We're going to move it to the Lane Agri Park.
Great venue.
And this will be the 63rd year. So we're trying to get it, but I thought this would be a good time to call since everybody there has been there at least once or twice.
I've been there probably, did it first start? Since then.
Before you were driving.
So that was when I was 4. I started driving when I was 5, so what would it be about?
I did too.
Yeah. We were both raised in the country.
That's right, and you could do that.
Yes.
Back then. But I just wanted to mention that, and we'll plug it some more. But what a tremendous show you got today with Cheryl on there, and I'd like to say hi to her, because I was raised with all the Roy Rogers.
Yes.
Trigger and buttermilk and all of them.
You still doing that great homemade ice cream at the picnic?
Well, very good memory. No, we got where the ladies were churning it, and not the men.
Ah.
And they got where they kind of gave that up because it wasn't any young ones coming in there that was going to keep churning it.
Uh-oh. See, you got to do like my nana said. If you don't churn, you don't eat.
That's why they gave it up.
John L. sounds to me like you're passing the buck here. How come you can't churn ice cream?
I was busy getting other things ready for
you. Oh, yeah, okay. Administrator, okay.
That's right. Sound like you are there.
No, I don't want to hear it. You make the ice cream and I'll be there, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, I might just buy you some. You come on anyway.
All right.
Let's hold him to that.
All right.
I thank you. And Cheryl, luck to you on your way back. And you could move to Eagleville. That'd be very nice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Truman.
Thanks, John L. Appreciate it.
Bye.
What else he got there, Sam? What are they going to have?
Oh, right. John, he's on his high horse here about the Blackman community. You know, it's a Blackman community. It's been, you know, it's a well-thought community for many, many years here in Rutherford County. And as John L. said, they're getting ready to cook some more barbecue for 63 years in a row out there.
Oh, wow.
And it's grown from the little pavilion there on the main road
to little clubhouse
to the clubhouse right there. I think they were at the Blackman School one year, and they've just kept growing and growing and growing. So now they've somehow obtained the main agri-part facility on John Rice Boulevard. And as John L. says, Friday the 22nd of June from 5 until 8.
All right.
And looks like we're going to have some barbecue and some Cajun cooking, catering, some beans, coleslaw, hot dogs. Adults is going to be $8.
That's great.
Children 12 and under 4. Going to have some entertainment. Bluegrass band, Hands of Time. I've heard these guys before. They're real good. And also another local group from out on the other side of the county, Cripple Creek Cloggers. They'll be there for entertainment. Children activities. Going to have some pony rides. We'll get John Ed on one of the ponies there. And this will be the next thing we need to get John L. on. And I'm going to do this part, is the face painting. So the children can have their faces painted along with John L. for the ice cream. They've got the bouncy house with the air rides and all that in it. Going to have an auction. Going to have local businesses. They're going to donate some items to be auctioned off. And looks like going to have a raffle on a rocking chair donated by Farm Credit. Like I say, this is the 63rd year, June the 22nd, from 5 until 8.
Wow!
So John Ed will be there. John Ed will be there with your ice cream, buddy. And I'm gonna paint your face.
You think that John L. might put Wilbur up for sale in the auction?
No, he won't put him up for sale, but he'll charge us to look at him.
All right, Cheryl, we're running out of time. And I know you've got a lot of things to do, but I think you're going back home right now, aren't you?
Well, after the Farm Bureau tomorrow, yes. We're going to head home. We've been on the road for just about a month.
And so, tell me about the Farm Bureau. They're kind of sponsoring your trip, aren't they?
Well, they are. And this is their Women's Summer Conference.
Uh-huh.
And they've got, you know, just that fantastic facility over on the highway there in Columbia. And that's where the program's going to be. So at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do this program on my mom, and they're going to have it, I believe, on radio and on RFD TV. Mm-hmm. They'll have part of it on RFD. So it should be great fun, and I'm really looking forward to introducing people to a Dale Evans that they might not know.
I know you put on the show over at Patterson Park when you were here.
Yeah,
and filled the place up. I mean,
it was great.
There were so many people that mentioned that they enjoyed. It was almost like being a kid again, watching their favorite star all over again.
Oh, I'm so glad, because I mean, Larry and I just had a wonderful time doing it, and what a super facility that is. It was really great.
Now, tell me, where's the venue going to be with your show?
Tomorrow at the Farm Bureau offices on
Columbia, Tennessee.
Yeah, in Columbia, Tennessee, but it's on Highway 412.
Highway 412
in Columbia.
Okay.
And if they just go to the Tennessee Farm Bureau website, they'll see all about it.
Well, shame on them not having it here in Rutherford County. I mean, this county is full of Roy Rogers, Dale Evans fans. Really are.
Well, you know, Trigger Jr.'s sire was from here. He was a Tennessee walking horse.
See, I have heard that before.
He came from this part of the country.
Do you know where?
The sire did.
The Barkers in Reedaville.
Reedaville.
Yeah, over in the Cannon County side, right?
No, it's actually the Ruffin County side.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Trigger.
Because I remember the story. Yeah, the Barkers are such really, really great people. They really are. Well, Cheryl, this has been so fun.
Oh, thank you, Truman. I always love doing your show. You are so hospitable, and you make it really easy. So.
Oh no, you make it easy. Do I hear till we meet again. That's what it is. Happy trails. That's what it is. Well, it's another great show, and you guys have a safe trip back, and I hope you have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.